In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Today I'm going to be looking at a scripture that is very controversial, but I'm going to see what the Word of God says, not what I say. What does God's Word say? So I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come upon me and to use me and to listen. Help me to listen to you and help me to speak your Word and to speak it as you would have me speak it. And help the listeners to listen as you would have them listen. I'm reading from the oldest experience of the Eucharist, written by St. Paul. It is the most primitive Eucharistic experience. And this is what St. Paul says. It's in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and he says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered from you." So first of all, he says he receives this from Jesus Christ. He didn't receive it from men. He received it from the Lord. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took a cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This ye do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I want to read that again. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What is proclamation according to the Bible? "Let there be light," and there was light. God proclaimed it. Jesus said to the leper, "Be thou healed," and he was healed. Proclamation, according to the Bible, is what it says it does. When God proclaims something, he does it. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, make present, the Lord's death until he come." Then it says, "Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ." My Lord, how can you be guilty of the body and blood of Christ if Christ is not totally present there? "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." And if you eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily, you are guilty of the body and blood of Christ. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body," not discerning that the Lord Jesus Christ is present as Eucharist. Some people say not discerning the body of Christ, the people. I think it's both. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world." So, St. Paul says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, make present, the death of the Lord until he comes. Now, the word I want you to see in the 24th chapter is remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, I want to tell you remembrance in Greek is not to remember with your head. Remembrance in Greek is to make present the experience. When the Jewish people remembered the Passover, they went through it. It was a meal of remembrance. They weren't thinking about Moses only, but they went through the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea. They went through the desert. Remembrance has to do with making present. It's a word that we think means to remember, but it doesn't mean remember at all. It means to make present. Anamnesis, I think the Greek word is, to make present the event. To make present the event. What event? The death of the Lord. So what event is being made present on the altar? The only death of Jesus being present for us, made present on the altar. It is not over and over and over again, but we make present that which Jesus did for us, that he gave his life for us. We do that when we preach the word too. When Billy Graham says, come to the cross, he doesn't say, come to, let's go back 2,000 years. But he says, come to the cross, come now to the cross. The cross is an eternal event made present through the preaching of the word and the celebration of the sacrament. That's why you need a priest to celebrate the Eucharist, because it is the sacrifice of Calvary. And the priest celebrates the sacrifice. That's just the way it is. It was like that from the beginning, and it's like that in 2012. The priest celebrates the sacrifice, the one sacrifice. It is not a sacrifice made over and over and over again. It is the one sacrifice of Christ. Now we're going to look at John 6. John 6. And we're going to start with verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. Okay, manna. Remember what the Jews said. What is it? And Jesus said, this is the what is it that came down from heaven. I should say Moses said, this is the what is it that came down from heaven. Manna equals what is it? Your fathers did eat the what is it, the manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He's not talking about what is it. Then he says, I am, using the name of God, the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world to come. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Because they're hearing him. These are disciples. How can he give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, verily, verily, I say to you, amen, amen, I say to you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Drink his blood. Now, some people say the flesh could talk about the word of God, but I'm talking about drinking his blood. That is only the Eucharistic celebration that he does on the night before he dies. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. My flesh is real food, or my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did in the wilderness, They ate the what is it, the manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said Jesus in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Well, and when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, just as the Jews murmured in the desert, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. But there are some of you that do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given to him by the Father." Listen to this. From that time, many of his disciples left and walked no more with him. This is amazing. A disciple is a person who left mother, father, sister, and brother, homes and lands, to follow Jesus. They were not Sunday Catholics, and they were not Wednesday go-to-prayer-meeting Catholics. They had left everything to follow Jesus. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, let me tell you this. If Jesus did not mean what he said and said what he meant, he would have said, "Now, men, come on. Come on. Remember the woman at the well? I told her that I'd give her living water. Remember? And I told her that that living water would spring up from her being. Do you remember? I wasn't talking about water, but I was talking about the Holy Spirit. Do you remember on the Mount of Olives when he came to me at night and he said, I said, unless a man be born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus says, do I have to go into my mother's womb again? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Jesus clarified it, talked about being born of water and the Spirit. Jesus does not clarify this. The disciples are going to leave him, many of them, because they think he's talking about cannibalism. They don't know what he's going to do on the night before he died. They have no idea that on the night before he dies, he's going to give us the Eucharist. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Many people that are not Catholic or Lutheran or High Episcopalian think that this is symbolic. The Eucharist is not symbolic. The Eucharist, when the priest celebrates the Eucharist, when the priest celebrates the Eucharist, even if he is the deepest sinner in the world, and he does what the Church has called him to do, the very body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus is made present on the altar. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. You proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. This is truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The early church fathers believed this. The people who were taught by the apostles believed this. St. Paul went as far to say that if you eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily, you sin against the body and blood of Christ. For the death of Jesus is made present sacramentally. Now, I know people have been taught that this is not true, but it is true. It is true. When we celebrate the Eucharist as Catholics and Orthodox people, and some people would say also as High Episcopalians, and some people would say as other religions, when we celebrate the Eucharist, we make present the very body and blood, soul and divinity. The cross of Jesus Christ, in which he died, is made present Eucharistically, as Eucharist. Some people say that Jesus is in the Eucharist. He is not in the Eucharist. Jesus is the Eucharist. He's not someplace in there. He is the Eucharist. He gave his body and blood as a sin offering for us. It is so important that when we receive, we know who we're receiving. This is not a Necco wafer. This is Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Mary. Jesus crucified from the foundation of the world. This is truly the Lord. This is the Lord. So when I have him in my hand, it is Jesus. Jesus the Lord who died on the cross and who rose from the dead, who ascended into heaven, and who sits at the Father's right hand right now. It is the risen Lord that we receive. It's important to know this. That's why the last thing that Jesus did was the most important thing. He wanted to leave himself for us. And we believe that we are fed by two altars, and we need both. The altar of the Word and the altar of the Body and Blood of Christ, the Eucharist. Unfortunately, when the big separation came between Catholics and Protestants, Protestants went evangelical and Catholics went sacramental. Unfortunately, because it was never meant to be that way. Catholics were always meant to be people of the book as well as people of the sacrament. We were always meant to be fed by two tables, the table of the Eucharist and the table of the Word. But there was a reaction, unfortunately, that the Church stressed the sacrament and Luther stressed the Word. Let me also tell you about Luther. Luther was a priest. He believed that Jesus Christ was present in the Eucharist. He believed that it was Jesus and it was also bread. But he believed that it was Jesus. He believed that. He was a priest. He was an Augustinian priest. He never did not believe that it was Jesus. You know, he believed in the consubstantiation. We believe in the transubstantiation. But he believed it was Jesus. When the later reformers reacted, they reacted against this completely. They wanted nothing to do with sacramental experience. They only wanted to do with evangelical experience. And I'm going to tell you, we as Catholics did the same thing. We, for the most part, wanted only to deal with the sacramental and not to deal with the evangelical. It's very important that we are fed by two tables, the table of the Word and the table of the Eucharist. We see in the Counter-Reformation that Ignatius of Loyola was a man of the book, not only a man of the altar, a man of the Word, not only a man of the Eucharist. That was the Counter-Reformation with Ignatius of Loyola and the Jesuits. They were a strong,
influence to bring people back to the church. Let me tell you this. The church has not been perfect. We have not been perfect. And if anyone says we've been perfect, well, they lie. We have been imperfect. But yet, though imperfect, the Eucharist has been celebrated for 2,000 years. It is truly the Lord. Truly the Lord. Truly the Lord. As Eucharist. And, you know, I'm calling people back to the church. I'm calling people back to the church to come back to the Eucharist. Come back to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I have a friend that several years ago I brought her into the Catholic Church. She is evangelical and Pentecostal. She receives the Eucharist almost every day. And she says, what a blessing it is to receive the body and blood of Christ. What a blessing it is. She goes to church with her family on a Sunday, which isn't Catholic, but she goes to Mass on a Saturday and almost every other day. And you know what? If that's what you have to do to hear the Word of God, then do it. But come back to the church. Come back to the Eucharist. Come back to receive the sacrament of penance. Come back, come back, come back. Because this is what the Lord has given us until He comes in glory. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, make present the death of the Lord until He comes. Jesus did not call the people who were His disciples back. They said, this is a hard saying. We cannot endure it. Jesus said, let them go. Peter said, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Let me tell you, my friends, come back, come back, come back. And if you have to go to a Word church on a Sunday, do that. But come and receive the Eucharist. Make sure you come on a Saturday evening. Make sure you receive the sacrament of penance. Make sure, make sure, make sure. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. I am a Catholic priest, and I am one of the few Catholics that's on throughout the country. This is real. I am one of the few Catholics that's on evangelical stations throughout the country. You know, I am evangelical by the grace of God. I am Pentecostal by the grace of God. I am sacramental by the grace of God. It's not either or, it's the three. Evangelical, Pentecostal, and sacramental. That's the way Jesus gave the church. We are living in the day of Pentecost. We celebrate the Eucharist in the day of Pentecost. So I need to hear from you. And we are thousands of dollars below paying our bills. So please, 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 if these broadcasts are blessings to you, you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or in season and out of season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We're on every day. We've been on since 1984. And we've been proclaiming the gospel since 1984 on WEZE and 1985 on WROL. We are also on in Albuquerque. We are on in St. Louis, Missouri. We are on in Hartford, Connecticut. We are on in Springfield. We are on in New York. We are on in Washington, D.C. We are on in Virginia. We are on in New Jersey. My voice goes out throughout the country every single day. And it is the grace of God. It is the grace of God. Only God gives us this grace to do this, so that I would be able to speak to you. I received a call just today saying, Father Tom, you encourage us so much. When you spoke about Romans 8:28, to those who love God and are called to his purpose, all things work together for the good. I want to tell you that again. All things work together for the good if you love God, even the rotten stuff you're going through. All things work together for the good to those who love God and are called to his purpose. Again, in season and out of season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's in season and out of season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Can I also tell you that you've got to vote in November? This is the most crucial of all presidential elections. It is the most crucial of all presidential elections. I'm telling you that it is most crucial that you vote. I cannot tell you how to vote, but I can tell you who stands for what, and I'll be doing that. And in Massachusetts, it is crucial that we vote against mercy killing. They are going to put this on the ballot. Can people have assisted doctor suicide? N-O. We have no right to kill the sick. We believe in life from the moment of conception until natural death. This is going to be on the ballot in November. Do you believe in assisted suicide? This is evil. It's evil. But what can you believe? You know, if they kill children to the ninth hour, the 12th hour, the last minute, this is the next thing coming down the line. Please, please, we cannot believe and take another person's life, either it be from the womb or at the end of life. Again, the mailing address is in season and out of season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please write, because I need to hear from all my stations if I'm going to stay on. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.